Have you ever said, you know, I'm not in the Christmas spirit yet? You ever said that, or somebody said, I'm not in the Christmas spirit yet? Or you've said, I have the Christmas spirit already. You ever said that? What is that? Where does that come from? And we think it's sort of a unique message today. We'll just see. What is Christmas spirit? I want you to think about it. What is Christmas spirit? Once you get something in your mind, what is Christmas spirit? Christmas spirit is blank. You just keep it right there. And whatever it is up there in your head, Christmas spirit, well, where did that come from? Christmas spirit. You ask 10 people, you'll probably get 10 completely different what? Answers. Christmas spirit is blank. What is that? What is the Christmas spirit? But here's the deal. No matter what those 10 say or what you say about Christmas spirit, something is certain. Now watch it. Whatever it is, it seems to make people more friendly. Have you noticed that at Christmas, say? I mean, maybe the neighbor, guy's mean 11 months out of the year. Thanksgiving rolls along and then Christmas, and look at there's old Mr. Whatever, and he's just nice again. Look at him, ain't that funny? Well, wait till January, it's going to turn. Have you noticed, though, how people are more friendly, more kind? See, I think at Fellowship Church, what a hug on people all year long. Okay, people say, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. How about, here's how we do it. How you doing? Hey, hello. Can't you do that all year? Say. But at Christmas, it just comes on us like, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. We don't say it any other time, but you know, I was at a hardware store the other day. Instead of me going, bye, I went, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Where does all this come from? You think I've lost my mind? It's all right. It seems to make people more kind, more generous. Is that true? Yes or no? Flat out. People are giving. They're more joyful. They're more uplifting. People in general. You might say, yeah, but I know not everybody. I didn't say everybody. I'm saying Christmas spirit is a majority, though. It's pretty overwhelming. More peaceful. Christmas spirit. And certainly, at Christmas time, people seem to be more what? They're more spiritual. Sure. Like, guy doesn't even go to church or a woman doesn't go to church. But they'll come to a Christmas Eve event and go, oh, come all ye faithful. How's that happen? Christmas spirit. Have you ever thought maybe Christmas spirit's a little more than you thought about? A little bit bigger than you thought? I'm going to tell you something right now. Santa Claus couldn't pull this off. And happy holidays. Let's come up with something and call it happy holidays, happy holidays, happy holidays, happy holidays. I guarantee it. Happy holidays. If it had been passed down through the ages, it wouldn't give us happy holiday spirit. Are you listening to me? Say. Have I lost you? Christmas spirit. Where does it come from? Well, I know this. It seems to make people more what? Are you kidding me? People cannot be concerned about other people all year, but now I got to get my list now, and I got to get old so-and-so a gift. Well, you didn't get them anything all year. How does that happen? Makes people much what? Nicer. It does. People are just nicer at Christmas. Would you agree with that, yes or no? Now, here in America, it starts a little bit before Thanksgiving. And God in His glory and His goodness, man, He let us put Thanksgiving in. That rolls right on into Christmas. Amen. You listening? Come on. Seems to make people much what? Happier. Now, I know not everybody's happy at Christmas, but most people are. Most people you meet are happy and nicer. So, here's the question. What is it that does that? What is it that does this? Christmas spirit. What is it? And where does it come from? Well, here's what Wikipedia says. You look computer, you can do this thing and figure out what words mean. Christmas spirit. It's a general feeling, say it with me, of what? Yes, a general feeling of emotional goodness. Or I say it like this, feeling good what? Christmas spirit is feeling good emotionally. Don't you think people at Christmas feel better emotionally, generally speaking? Yes or no? Sure they do. So, Christmas spirit does what? Say it with me. And Christmas spirit does what? It feels good. And it feels right. But don't let me lose you. Don't think I'm not preaching today. I am. I'm trying to set the table. We're eating. Ready? Going to eat here in a little bit. So where does that feels good, feels right feeling come from? Say that with me. Where does that feels good, feels right feeling come from? We call it Christmas spirit. Where does it come from? Probably the most famous book next to the Bible on Christmas spirit that was ever written was a book, A Christmas Blank, by Charles Dickens. A Christmas what? Carol. It was all about Christmas spirit. Go back and reread the book or watch the movie. And in the end, old Scrooge, he was different. He was changed. He had Christmas what? Christmas spirit. So where does it come from? Well, here's a news flash for you today. Here's where it comes from. Where is this Christmas spirit that people have? Where does it come from? True Christmas spirit comes from, say it with me, God the... Boy, I want y'all to get that down. You need to know this. True Christmas spirit comes from God the... Y'all hearing me today? What do I mean? How do you say that, Pastor? Are you telling me that people that don't even know Jesus and they're happy and they are celebrating and they're, you know, got a Christmas tree and gifts and even Santa Claus on their little mantle? Are you telling me, Pastor, that's of the Holy Spirit? I'm telling you it is. I'm not saying what everybody does is right. They've got the right message. No. Not at all. But I'm telling you this, the spirit that people get at Christmas, I believe, is from the Holy Spirit. I believe God's pretty excited about His Son. Did you hear me? Yes or no? I really do. And you can argue with this message if you want. It doesn't bother me none. I believe the Christmas spirit is of the Holy Spirit. How do you say that, Clark? Well, here's how I say it. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. You ought to memorize this verse. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? And it comes down from the Father of who? With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I'm going to tell you something. If anybody's more kind, God gets the credit for that. If anybody's more generous, God gets the credit for that. They might not be doing it for that reason. Good, because God's not impressed with what we do anyway. Y'all listening? Okay? But if anybody is giving gifts or shoes to children. You listening? Who's doing that? Somebody tell me. God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Hey, I think you ought to have a Christmas tree. Yeah, get you one. Put lights all over it, baby. And you remember this verse. Every time you look at that Christmas tree. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of what? Lights. And we put the gifts where? Under the tree. So every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I'm going to tell you something. God can get Him some glory. Amen. Are you listening or not? Say. If I lost you, can we praise the Lord? Come on! I don't have to get up here and make the case for Christmas. Amen. Just trying to help us, though. Now, I'm going to segue. If you want more of that, and a little bit different understanding of maybe the Holy Spirit at Christmas and the fruits of the Spirit. I did a message in the first service. Check it out online. How the fruits. How many you get a fruit basket at Christmas, or you used to? How many did that? Say, when you were growing up, you had a fruit basket. Or you had a fruit box. You remember when you were a kid growing up, you got a fruit box, a box of fruit? Where'd that come from? We never had fruit all year. At a Clark house, we're as poor as dirt in Carolina. And yep, up here at Christmas, there it comes. There's that little square, that little rectangle box. Bing! And it had a few of these little orange suckers in it called tangerines. I never had no tangerines. Never got them except Christmas. I believe when you examine the Christmas spirit in its fullness, it's the fruits of the Spirit. I want you to go back and look at it. And it gives whole new meaning to a fruit basket at Christmas. You listening or not? Have I lost you? Clark's gone crazy. He's cuckoo at Christmas. Come on. Now let's segue though a little bit. Different message totally than the first. Would you say this with me? Because here we go, message time. Say that with me. Here, now,
there, then. Would you say that loud, though? Here, now, there, then. One more time. Here, now, there, then. Christmas spirit comes from the Holy Spirit. Keep looking. We're rolling now. God, the Holy Spirit is here now because He was there then. You ought to look at the Christmas story, Luke chapter 1 and 2 again. That's what I'm going to do the next 2 or 3 weeks here in this audience. We're going to look at Luke chapter 1 and 2. And we're going to see the Holy Spirit, which is Christmas Spirit, the true Christmas Spirit, was there then and He's here now. Amen. Say. You can't argue with, how many can argue with me that something happens at Christmas? You can't argue with me, can you? Say. Are you kidding me? And how many, at Christmas time, something happens to you? You get a little something going on. Can I see your hand? Come on, don't lie to me. Come on. A little something going on. I mean, like, you know. How many like to drive around and just see Christmas lights sometimes? Can I see that? You know there's lights all year long? Go see them somewhere. I mean, you know. But at Christmas, you go, I got to go see them. I got to go see them. How many get excited over even some ugly Christmas lights somebody puts up? You've done it before, ain't you? Yeah, yeah. I'm ugly. Beep, beep, beep. Look at them. Look at them. Going crazy. Let's keep looking. God, the Holy Spirit is here now because He was there then. Now let's go keep going. We're going to the Scriptures. We're going to Luke chapter 1. You're with me, yes or no? Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. It's where we're headed, but a Scripture before that. That's all right. Stay with me. No, you're good. This is right. We also have, 1 Peter, a more sure word of prophecy. You ought to know this verse as well. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Keep looking. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. So many people get screwed up by thinking God told them something and they start saying stuff. Listen to me. No Scripture is of private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but say it with me, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, why did I put that on there? Because we're going to Luke 1. We're going to Luke 1 now for our first point. We're talking about the spirit of Christmas. Pastor, where is it in the Christmas story? Luke 1. Here we go. Number one, the first thing, God the Holy Spirit inspires who? Now say this with me again. God the Holy Spirit, God inspires Luke. What about Matthew, Mark, and John? Sure, they were inspired of God as well. But only Luke will give you the complete story, a really good understanding of the birth of Christ and what was surrounding and what was happening. Only Luke. God used Luke in a spectacular way. Luke was chosen by God, the Holy Spirit. You hear me today? To write the Gospel of Luke, the whole book. Not just about Christmas, but the whole book, but we're going to specifically look at Christmas. And he also wrote the book of what? That's important. Luke, God used to write two books, the book of Luke and the book of Acts. Both books start with what? Births. Look, the Gospel of Luke is the birth of Jesus, but don't forget this one, the birth of who? John. So it begins with birth. Well, I don't know about the births in the book of Acts. Are you kidding me? The birth of the what? Church. You open the book of Acts, bang, the church is born. It's incredible. The body of Christ, the bride of Christ. So, now, it's funny that God would choose Luke. Why would He choose him? That's what I'm trying to say is God, the Holy Spirit, is behind the whole thing. Christmas spirit is all about the Holy Spirit. Y'all listening? I feel like you're like, oh, man, He's all over the place. I'm like at Busch Gardens. It's fitting that God would choose Luke. Why? Luke was a doctor. Say that with me. Luke was a... He was a doctor. Paul refers to him as the beloved physician. Colossians 4:14, say it with me. Luke the what? He was a doctor. God chose who? Luke, who was a what? To write about the what of Jesus? The birth. Luke also, he was a people guy. He didn't write just about the birth. Keep reading the book of Luke, and he's a real guy that introduces Jesus to real people, and you'll see it as you read the book of Luke. It's beautiful. Luke. Wonder how many babies Luke helped deliver. You ever thought about that? As he's writing about Jesus. Incredible. Okay? Let's look at it now. God the Holy Spirit. So the first thing we see today is that the Holy Spirit inspires who? Luke. We're talking about the spirit of Christmas. Where did it come from? Well, it comes from the Holy Spirit. It was there then. It's here now. I want you to notice the painstaking effort and precision of how Luke writes. I'm just going to walk through it with you. Ready? Here we go. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. For as much, writing, this is Luke writing. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of things which are most assuredly what? Now he's going to take you from the birth to the crucifixion to the resurrection in his book. That he writes under the what? Inspiration of who? He said a lot of people have tried to write about this. It's quite a story. A lot of stuff is floating out there. And God's going to use me to write it to you. So a lot of stories are out there, verse 1, which we believe in Him. We know He lived. We know He died. We know He resurrected. We know this. But I'm going to try as a doctor to put it in some order for you. Are you listening today? And it's the Holy Spirit that did that. Even as they delivered them unto us, these writings, these stories, these historical records of Christ, which from the what? Were what? Say that again with me. From the beginning, they were what? Guys, you need to absolutely have absolute confidence without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He was born in Bethlehem. Are you listening to me? You need to believe that. You need to take everything you've got and put it all into that. Are you listening? There were eyewitnesses. Listen, Luke was not there, perhaps, when Christ was born. He's getting the story. But he was a contemporary at that time, during that time period. He was alive himself during the life of Christ. Are you hearing me? Say. So, he says, they've been delivered from eyewitnesses, and these people have been doing what? Ministering this word, the word that Christ, how he was born, the account of Christ's life. Verse 3. Very interesting verse. You need to see it. I'm telling you, the spirit of Christmas is from the Holy Spirit. It was there then. It's here now. It seemed good to me, Luke writing, having had what? Perfect understanding of all things from the... Say that with me. Say that three times. Very first, very first, very first. To write unto thee in order, most excellent... Theophilus, Luke took pen in hand under the inspiration of God, taking stories that he had heard, accounts from eyewitnesses under the inspiration of God, and writing them to a Roman ruler. And what was that guy's name? Theophilus. Was Rome a friend to the Christianity? No. Not at all. But Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, attempts to write something to this leader in this Roman culture. Stay with me. Don't let me bore you to tears. Look closely at the words very first. Say it again with me. Very first. He said, I've had a perfect understanding since the very first. It's interesting. Those two words, very first, are the same words from above. He said, guys... As I'm writing this to you, he's saying it to Theophilus, but we can take it now as us today. I've had clear understanding from above. Say from above. One more time. From the Holy Spirit. Of had all shook down. This is the way it happened. I'm a doctor. You know I'm meticulous. I've looked at the details. You can take it to the bank. You listening? So from the very first, It's the same word that appears in John 3:31. Same exact phrasing. He that comes from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly. And he speaks of the earth. He that comes from what? Heaven is above all. So that same word, very verse, is the same idea that, guys, this isn't Luke writing. This isn't me. This isn't me. God's directing me. Isn't the Christmas story the most beautiful thing you've probably ever read? And it came to pass. See if you know some of it. And it came to pass in those, there went out a decree from who? Caesar what? That all the world should be what? I mean, what a crazy line. Yet you know it. You probably don't know any other Caesar. Maybe Julius. That's it. The Word of God. It's very, very special. He says, I've had perfect understanding in writing this to you, Theophilus. Why? Verse 4. That thou mightest what? The what? That you might know the what? Of those things where you have been what? Instructed. It sounds to me like this Roman leader, Theophilus, was a leader who had believed in Christ. He had believed in Christ, or he was really leaning that way. And Luke was used of God. Because I'm going to tell you, right after this, the church just started to explode. Are you listening to me? And God used Luke to write this book, and he used him to write what book? The book of Acts. So, the spirit of Christmas. I know this might be a little boring, a little bit. It's not my normal way of teaching, but it's really important. Are you hearing me? God, the Holy Spirit is here now because He was there then. He was there inspiring Luke. When we open the book, boom, inspiration. Number two, stay with me. Without faith, it's what? Come on, without faith, it's what? It's impossible to please God, for we must believe. He that comes to God must believe that what? He is. He is truth. What He's saying is truth. And He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So the second thing about the Holy Spirit in the Christmas story, number one, it's inspired. Number one, it's inspired. Say that one. Number one, it's what? You have the truth. Jesus Christ came. He was born of a virgin, just like we'll see. Who wrote about it? A physician under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Gives it to you in accurate detail. It's backed up by eyewitnesses and many other accounts. He goes out on a limb and writes it to a Roman official. He could have probably been hung or crucified himself or burned because of his writing this to a Roman official. God said, write it, he wrote it. Amen. Say. You listening? So, the second thing that we see in God the Holy Spirit in the Christmas story, we're going to walk down through the Scriptures. Here we go. God the Holy Spirit expects, say it with me, people to what? He expects people to believe. And you're going to see right off the bat, when you don't believe, God's not going to cut you any slack. You can't please God without believing Him. Did you hear me say? Now, thank God He's a forgiving God. Thank God He's a patient God. He takes us to the woodshed and we can come out on the other side. Amen. But it's a must for a believer to believe in Christ. So look at it. God the Holy Spirit, He was there then. He's here now. Look. So, verse 5. So here he goes. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named, say it with me, Zacharias. Now, I'm not going to preach long on this. He was of the course of Abia. It basically meant there are 24 priests that minister in the temple during the year. You have a 2-week period of time. His was that course. 2 weeks a year he would minister in the temple. Got it? So here's the priest. He's taking his turn where? In a temple. And his wife was the daughter of Aaron. And her name was what? Hang in here. And they were both what? They were both righteous before God. They walked in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, and they were blameless. Didn't mean they were perfect, but they were very, very, very good people. Amen. And they had no what? Child. Isn't it interesting that this story is about Jesus, and we know the gospel's all about Jesus, but isn't it cool that God takes time to tell us this little story too? Say, about John, about his mom and his daddy, and he uses a doctor to do it. They had no child because that Elizabeth was barren and they were very now what? Old. You say old.
old. If you're feeling old, just imagine yourself having a baby right now. Yeah, just think like that for a second. Oh, yeah, you'd be fainting. Here we go. Come on. So, it came to pass while he was executing the priest's office, while he was doing his job before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to do what? And we could study that. I'm not taking a lot of time on it. This was, if you were the 24, this, if you got your lot to do something in the temple for 2 weeks, to burn incense was the most sacred, the most holy. And his, it fell on him who was a good man. He was a righteous man. Do you see God's timing, say? His timing is perfect. These good people, Zacharias and Elizabeth. So he's in there. He's doing his job, which fell on him to burn the incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Keep looking. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. And there appeared unto him a what? How would you like to get this letter from somebody? Theophilus, can you imagine it? There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was what? And fear fell on him. So he's very scared. You can see it. And the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for your what? Your prayer is heard. Your wife is going to have a baby. And you're going to call his name what? Holy smokes! Can you see doing your incense thingy? And, oh my gosh, you didn't say baby, did you? And you're going to have joy and gladness because their home, even though they were good people, was filled with sadness. When a woman couldn't have a child during that time period, they were looked upon, well, God must not really be with you. People would always question maybe their relationship with God, because if God really loved you, He would bless you with a child. That's all going to be behind you, man. You're going to have joy and gladness. And many shall what? Rejoice at His birth. Now, we're not talking about Jesus yet. This is the Christmas story, though. It's part of it. For He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. This boy that you're going to have. He shall drink, listen, neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled. Watch this part right here. I was trying to make the point that the Holy Ghost was there then. That's why He's here now. You hearing me? If I don't point out the Holy Spirit to you in the Scriptures, you won't even see it. Half the time. Come on. Look what He said. And He shall be, this little baby boy is going to be what? With the what? Say that with me. Filled with who? From His what? That's unusual. Here's little John inside the mother's womb. Not outside yet. Still inside, excuse me. And the Holy Spirit comes on that little child. He is life. Life is right there, baby. You hear me say? Life don't start outside the womb. Life's inside the womb. Did y'all get that? Yes or no? Did you get that or no? And He's filled. He's going to be filled from His mother's womb. This is the angel talking to Zacharias. And he's like, oh my gosh. And many of the children of Israel shall He do what? Turn to the Lord their God. And He's going to go before Him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn their hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for who? The Lord. Amen. Don't you love this? I love this. Wait a minute. I was trying to make the case that the Holy Spirit expects people to believe Him. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? Say it with me. For I am an old. And my wife ain't no spring chicken either. Would you? You know why God doesn't cut us any slack in not believing Him? Because He never expected you to believe in you anyway. We so often don't believe in God because we don't believe in us. That's what He's doing. Here's a promise from God. Here's an angel. Hello! And He doesn't believe Him.
He turns it around. I can't do this because I am blank. What? And my wife can't do it because she is what? Well, Jack, we never said y'all were going to do it anyway. Y'all been trying to do it for years. Y'all been doing it and doing it and doing it and still ain't getting it done. Excuse me. Y'all right, say? Guys, you want to learn something about faith? Get the faith off of you. That's why it ticks me off when we elevate these TV preachers and we fall down and worship and we send them all this crazy money. Have you lost your mind? Quit worshiping preachers. Are you hearing me today? Worship Christ! Good grief! Y'all right? Get your faith off of you. This is Gary talking to Gary. Gary, get your faith off of you. You're right. Yeah, in your own strength, you are a failure. But with me, all things are possible. I can do all things through who? Christ. Do you notice your name there or not? No. Through you? Through Gary? Through the church? Through giving? No. I can do all things through who? And see, God's not going to cut this guy any slack. He said, I can't do it. I'm old. My wife can't do it. She's old as I am. And the angel said unto him, I'm Gabriel. You didn't know that, did you? So often we don't know what God knows and what He sees. I'm Gabriel that stands in the presence of God. And I'm sent to speak these things unto you and to show you this good news that you've just, you know, whatever. Amen, say. And behold, you going to be what? Say that with me. You going to be what? Come on, one more time, church. You going to be what? And I hate to be unkind to you today, but if you don't believe the Scriptures and the story of Jesus, you're dumb. Quote me, I said it. Guys, God's not going to cut you any slack. Yeah, but He's going to go, I never put it on you anyway. I put it on the back of my son. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. That's what He's going to say at the judgment. Yes or no? Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me today? Here's a priest that was a good man. What a great lesson for us. Right in the Christmas story, before Jesus ever is announced. Listen, He shows you a good man, a good priest, who is made to be dumb because he doesn't believe God. The Holy Spirit was there then, all right. He's here now. Because, listen, and behold, you shall be dumb. You ain't going to be able to speak until after the day these things shall be performed. This was going to be a happy time in your life. You're going to be filled with joy and gladness. Now you're going to be able to say squat. Because see, it was all about you thought. Because you believed not my what? Because you did what? You didn't believe my words. Which shall be fulfilled in their what? In their time. Aren't you glad that God doesn't quit on us when we just lose it? Say, oh, thank you, Lord. And the people waited for Zacharias and they marveled. He's in there a long time. Wonder how long he stayed in there not wanting to come out. He went in smart, came out dumb. You hearing me? Come on. And so when he came out, he could not what? And you know how people are. What happened? Tell us about it. We saw a light, we thought. Tell us about it. They thought he'd seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them. He's like, he done gone crazy. He's done seen something. Can't you feel it? Come on. Keep looking. So, are we good, Raj? That was number two. Here we go. Number one, he inspired Luke. Number two, he expects us to what? The last two points are quick. Here we go. Look at the scripture, another scripture. Romans says he staggered not the promise of God through unbelief. That was Abraham. But he was strong in faith, giving what? Verse 21, would you say this with me? And being fully what? That what he had, he was also able to perform. The Holy Spirit was there then and he's here now. Listen, the third point of the message today about the Holy Spirit at Christmas is God the Holy Spirit keeps his what? He keeps his promise. Well, what happened to the old man and the old woman? They didn't live in a shoe. Here we go.
It came to pass that as soon as the days of menstruation were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife what? So after his two-week stint on the job at the temple doing the incense thing, he went home. Okay? And after those days, his wife Elizabeth what?
Conceived.
Got pregnant. And she hid herself how long? I can't go out of the house. You can't talk and I'm pregnant. That ain't going to fly. You know they've been talking about us before. So she hid herself 5 months. Thus hath the Lord dealt with me, Elizabeth, in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my what? My what? That word means because she hadn't had a child, they were looking down on her. Amen. And she said, the Lord has looked on me to take that away. Hallelujah. Keep looking. We're going to pass over some stuff. We'll catch it next time. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a what? Who said she would? God did. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they what? They rejoiced with her. You see how the Holy Spirit keeps His promise? It came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called Zacharias. Hey, Zacharias! And they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. I'm sorry, they called Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, say it with me. But his name shall be what? But hang on, keep looking. And they said this. This is funny if you read the Bible. You ought to read the Bible and laugh. And they said unto her, they ain't none of your kindred called that. Wonder how they talked about her after that. Who's John? I'm sorry, keep looking. And they made signs to his what? Father, they're making signs because they've been having to do this for months now, talking to this joker because he can't talk no more because he didn't believe the Holy Spirit, so he was dumb. So they're making signs. And they made signs to the father and said, what you want to call him? You don't want to call him John, do you? Your wife done gone crazy. Look. And he asked for a writing table. Give me one of them little chalkboard things. And he wrote saying, his name is what? And they what? They couldn't believe it. Oh, look at this. And his mouth was what? And his tongue was. And he what? And he praised God. Don't you like this book? I love this. We're almost done. Number one, he inspired Luke. Number two, he expects us to believe him. No excuses. Number three, he keeps his promises. See, he did it then. He does it now. Yes? Last point. Another scripture. Be not drunk with what? Wherein is what? I just thought I'd throw this up. Don't get drunk this time of year. No, I didn't do it for that reason. Be not drunk with wine. Put it back. Wherein is excess. But read that last part. But be what? Say that with me. But be what? Does the Holy Spirit fill with the Spirit? Oh, yeah. He did it then. He does it now. Yeah. Hey, look. God the Holy Spirit fills who? Now, guys, this should give us all hope. He didn't believe him. And that would be a lot like us, wouldn't it? I do it often. I try to put my confidence in me, and therefore I nullify my faith in God because I can't see it happening through Gary. And God wants me to get my eyes off me and put my eyes on him because he can do anything. And so Zacharias was dumb for a while. How many have been dumb for a while? In your life, yeah. But aren't you glad he loves us still, has patience with us? And so, God, the Holy Spirit fills Zacharias. So his tongue was loosed and he praises God. I don't have all day, so I don't have much up here. And his father Zacharias was what? Say it with me. His father Zacharias was what? The message is he's here now because he was there then. Guys, the Holy Spirit was working through the whole Christmas story. Get in there and look, man. His father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he prophesied, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeems his people." Wow! First words out of his mouth. Isn't that exciting? He's finally able to talk. He's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. He spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. You can trust him. He keeps his word. I didn't. I was dumb, man. Believing that we should be what? Saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the what? Mercy what? Promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. Now, guys, I'm done. What did we learn today in Luke chapter 1? Number one, this is a very special story. God inspired the writing by a man named Luke, a doctor. Amen? He inspired him. Number two, you better believe him. Number three, he keeps his promise. Number four, he fills. Did you see the Holy Spirit back then? Say. He's still working today. So God the Holy Spirit, say this with me. We're done. Say it with me. God the Holy Spirit what? Can we praise the Lord this morning? Come on, baby. Yes, sir.